I want us to think this morning about a lesson that really is fairly simple, but one that is very important. As we think about the concept of the church, if we were just to begin going around on a street in Rogersville or Athens or somewhere around here, and we begin to talk to different people and say, well, what is the church? You're going to get a variety of responses to that question. What I want to do for the next few minutes this morning is look at some of the answers that we might get and then examine those based on the Word of God. Are they right or are they wrong? Are they legitimate answers or not? And then we'll see from the Scripture those things that are true as we think about the idea of the church. If we went around, the first thing we might come across is we come up to somebody and we say, well, what is the church? And they say, well, the church is a building. It's this place that we go, and we go there on Sunday, and it's a place where we go to worship. And they have it associated somehow with the concept of a physical structure. Well, when we begin to think about that, we can see some facts about that that seem to be fairly obvious, that people lean in that direction from time to time. As we begin to look around us, we would see that that person is probably very proud of the building where they go to worship. And it's probably a fairly elaborate sort of a structure. It may have lots of stained glass, and it may have a big steeple that goes up off the top of it. And you may see that the inside is very plush and very inviting and lots of modern creature comforts. And maybe we have this big fellowship hall, or we have a gymnasium and a place where we can accommodate all of our physical needs. And that is their picture of the church. It's a really, really wonderful building where we all come together at certain times. A number of years ago, to kind of give you an example of this, I was in Huntsville, and I was in a sign shop, and I was getting a sign for a business that we had just opened over there to put on our door. And so I'm in the sign shop, and there was some guy in there, and I guess he was a preacher from all I could tell, and then one of the people who was a member of the church where this guy preached. And they were talking about their new building, and they were very excited about the new building. And they were talking about it, and the guy, I heard him say, he said, you know, it's just the neatest thing. He goes, we've got this set up so that when preaching is over, we can push a button and the whole podium just kind of slides right out of the way. It's all electric. It slides out of the way, and then everything's set up so we can put our food out and have everything set up for like a fellowship hall. He goes, just the neatest thing. And I'm thinking, that would be especially neat at 11 o'clock. The guy keeps going. You push the button and just slide the guy right out of the way. And they were talking about the walking track. It had a huge walking track, so people could come and they could walk on the track and get their exercise and all these. Well, what is that? Well, that's a situation where people have become so enamored and so focused on the physical structure that perhaps somewhere in all of that they have totally lost sight of the true picture of what the church is as is presented to us in the Word of God. As we think about this, obviously, we're not turning to any scripture, and there's a reason for that. There are no scriptures we can turn to. It's a misconception to look at the church as a physical structure. The church is not a physical structure. It is something far greater than that, and nowhere in the Bible is that definition given. And so certainly we need to understand the church is not a physical structure. That's a misconception, and one that we need to avoid as we consider our own concepts of what the church is. Well, we keep going and we talk to somebody else. Somebody said it was a building. Well, we go to the next one. What do you think the church is? They said, well, the church is a local group of people, and it's people who are meeting together for the purpose of worshiping God. Well, now we're starting to get somewhere. We look around us and we can see many local examples of this. I'm not as familiar with this area, but for example, there's the New Georgia Church of Christ. Well, what is the New Georgia Church of Christ? Well, it's a group of people who all live fairly close in this geographic area, and you've decided to join together for the purpose of worshiping God. And when we just look at it strictly from that definition, a group of people living in the same area, we see other examples of this. For example, if I were to go to Athens, where I have a little more familiarity, and I was on my way somewhere, I might see the Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. Well, what is that? Well, it's a group of people who live fairly close to Lindsay Lane who meet together for the purpose of, as they would say it, of worshiping. Well, we go a little farther and we see the First United Methodist Church. Well, what is that? Well, it's a group of people who live fairly close together who have decided to join together for the purpose of worshiping. That's a local congregation, basically, is what that is about as we consider the examples that we may find. Well, is this biblical? The answer to that is yes. We're not going to turn there, but we could turn to Revelation chapter 2. And we could begin to see in chapters 2 and 3, as we see Jesus, as he is talking or sending letters to the churches. And we list of churches like the church at Ephesus and the church at Smyrna and the church at Thyatira and the church at Laodicea. Well, what were those? Well, there were people who lived in those cities. And they joined together for the purpose of worshiping God. We begin to consider the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Well, what's Romans? Well, it's a letter that Paul wrote to the Christians who were a part of the church that was in Rome. It was people who lived in the same city joining together for the purpose of worshiping. First Corinthians. Well, what's 1 Corinthians? Well, it's a letter to the church at Corinth. Galatians, letter to the churches of Galatia. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Well, what were those? Well, they were local groups of people, just like the church at New Georgia. They all lived in the same area, and they came together as a local congregation for the purpose of worshiping God. Now, I want you to notice something about that, though. It is a concept that we see in the New Testament. But as we begin to consider some of the examples that I used, as I listed off modern-day examples of this concept, one of the things we would have to say is that as we look now, we would have to say that this concept is abused. In many ways, we watch as people have moved away from the pattern that we see in the New Testament and have gone on to do things that are different. When we begin to look at the New Testament churches, those local congregations of God's people in the New Testament, one of the things that we see, and a very important thing, is that their allegiance, their loyalty, was with Jesus Christ, and only with Jesus Christ. And we begin to see that they identified themselves with Jesus Christ. And as we begin to look around, we would have to say, maybe we're seeing some changes in that as we look at some of the examples around us today. Sometimes, even by the very name that a group identifies themselves as, we can begin to see a difference. We can begin to see where their loyalty truly is placed. For example, if we went to a church and we see a sign and it says, this is the whatever Lutheran church. Well, what they have just done, even by their name, is they have identified themselves with a man. And his name is Martin Luther. And so they would take the teachings of Martin Luther and might join them in some way together with the teachings of the Bible. But do you see how even by the name that they're called, they have associated themselves with something other than Jesus Christ? Well, we begin to look around and we see another church and it says, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it may also be called the Mormon Church. And we say, well, they're associating themselves with Jesus Christ. But then we go in and begin to listen to the things that they would say. And they might give us a Bible. And they would say, this is a Bible. But it ends up being this thick. And the reason that it's that thick is because they have also taken the writings of a man named Joseph Smith. And they have put that with the Bible. And they have said, this is what we follow. Well, wait a minute. If I look at the New Testament churches and their allegiance or their loyalty was only to Jesus Christ, and then I begin to look and see somebody whose loyalty is not to Jesus Christ, but is to some man named Joseph Smith, and when something conflicts with what is here versus Joseph Smith, we lean towards Joseph Smith, I have to say, that's an abuse of what we see in the New Testament. That's different. And so while we may find our name associated perhaps with Jesus Christ, what we must make sure is that our doctrine and our teaching and the pattern that we follow in regards to the things that we do, we make sure that is associated with Jesus Christ as well. Well, how do I do that? Well, I look in the Scripture to see. That's the only way. I want us to notice how New Testament local congregations, New Testament churches, their only loyalty, their only allegiance was to Jesus Christ. Turn with me to a number of passages, if you would. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Now notice what's happening. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And listen to what he says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 10 and read through verse 13, where Paul is making such an important point to these people. He's saying, your loyalty, your allegiance must be to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin reading with me in verse 10. To this church, Paul says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me, concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? What were they doing? Different groups of people who were associating themselves with different men. So one would say, well, I am of Paul. Another would say, I'm of Cephas or Peter. Another would say, well, I'm of Apollos or Jesus. And Paul would say, wait a minute. Your loyalty is not to me. Your loyalty is not to Peter, and your loyalty is not to Apollos. Is Christ divided? The obvious answer is no. Was Paul crucified? No. The point is, the loyalty, the allegiance, the focus was Jesus Christ. If we are going to follow the New Testament example of a local congregation of God's people, the only way for us to do that is to place our full loyalty and our full allegiance with Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is to dig into His Word and see what these churches were doing and then follow that pattern and example. And if I look and I see a group of people, no matter what they claim to be, if I can look at their teaching and I can look at the practice in their worship and I can look at the things that are taking place and I see things that are not found in the Word of God, I have to say, that's not what I want to be a part of. Because what I want to be a part of is a church that is following Jesus and only Jesus. Sometimes when I'm dealing with the Chinese Christians in Canada that we're working so much with, one of the things that I'll say, you know, I think I'm a pretty good guy, but I don't want to be a part of Bruce's church. And I'll talk about a friend of mine named Kevin. Kevin's a good guy, but I don't want to be a part of Kevin's church. I want to be a part of Jesus' church and only His church. And I want to associate myself with a group of people who are only interested in following Jesus. Because that's where salvation will be found. That's the people that I need to be a part of. And if I see things that are happening that are different from what is contained within the Word of God, I don't want to be a part of that. Go with me to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, it's interesting how many times Paul uses this same idea as we think about his letters. In Galatians chapter 1, I want you to begin reading in verse 6. And I think this is such a powerful statement on his part. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. This time to the churches of Galatia. So he's covering a fairly broad area as he writes this letter. He says to them, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now think about what Paul is saying. He is telling this group of Christians, he is saying, if I come to you, Paul, and begin to teach you something different from what's already been delivered to you, let me be accursed. You send me on my way. You reject me. Think about the application to us. What an incredible thing it would be if the Apostle Paul were coming to preach for the new Georgia church. Can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul. And here he is. And he's, I guarantee you this building would be so crowded. There would be people in the parking lot. Lauderdale County probably wouldn't hold the people who would want to come to hear the Apostle Paul preach. But if he came and if he preached, we would need to sit there with our Bible open, listening to what he was saying and examining his teaching based on the Word of God. And if somehow he began to tell us something different than the Word that has been revealed to us, we would say, wait a minute, that is different from what is right here. This is our standard. And even if the Apostle Paul were standing before us today, this standard does not change. What if it were an angel? People get all torn up over angels, having a special service next Saturday night. What about angels? What if an angel, a certified, documented angel, stood before us, proved himself beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was an angel, and he begins to speak to us and saying, I'm delivering you a message from God. And he delivers that to us. We would need to sit with our Bibles open, examining the things that he's saying based on what's right here. And if it's different, let him be accursed. Even if it was an angel. Tell you what it does. It helps us to see how important this is. And it helps us to see that this is our only pattern. And it helps us to see that if we are not abiding by the pattern that we have been given, then certainly as a local congregation of God's people, we are not what we ought to be. And we need to change. Because even if it was the Apostle Paul, even if it was an angel, if it was different from what's right here, we must stick with what God has given. I don't want to be a part of some man's church. I want to be a part of a group of people who are seeking to simply serve God and follow Him as closely as they can. And if I see things that they're doing that are not in the Word of God, question of authority. If I see things that they're doing that are not in the Word of God, I need to leave. Because that's not where I want to be. Our allegiance, our loyalty must be to Jesus Christ. And I must realize how important that is. And that will help me to realize how important the Bible is. Because it's the only basis of doctrine that we have. So we carry on and we begin to talk to somebody else. The first person said it was a building, a physical structure. The second person said it's a local group of people. That's a biblical thing. We've seen that. The next person we talked to, what is the church? They say, well, when I think about the church, what I think about is the body of Jesus Christ. I think about all believers joined together in one great body, the body of Christ. That's a biblical concept as well. And the truth of the matter is, as we begin to think about that, it is a far greater entity with far greater scope than the concept that is pictured to us in the Word of God as a local congregation of God's people. When we begin to think about the body of Christ, when we talk about the body of Christ, we're talking about a group that began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it's a group that will continue to be added to until the earth ends. When a person today decides, I want to follow Jesus Christ, I want to become a Christian, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, I want to do what God wants me to do, the Lord adds them to Jesus' church, to the body of Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. What about back there in Acts chapter 2 when those people became Christians, when they were baptized into Jesus Christ? What were they added to? The same thing. So somebody who became a Christian in Acts chapter 2 is a part of the same group that I am added to if I become a Christian today? The answer is yes. It's pictured for us as a group of all saved believers. Those of all time who have joined themselves to Jesus, who have decided that they're going to serve God, who are dedicated to following Him, and who are seeking to follow the pattern that He has given to them. It spans generation after generation. It includes some who are living and it includes some who are dead. It's a great joining together of the people of God, those who are the saved, those who have given themselves to Him. It is described in the Word of God as the kingdom of God. It is described as the body of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ. And truly, it is an awesome concept. If you're in Galatians, just turn over a few pages to the book of Colossians and go with me to chapter 1. Somehow, for us to truly appreciate what God has blessed us with in those great and precious promises that we discussed from 2 Peter chapter 1 in our Bible class, we have to understand this great concept of the church. In Colossians chapter 1, I want you to begin reading with me in verse 13. And listen as Paul describes this concept to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Look at verse 24. Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. It's the church. I rejoice in my sufferings and fill up in for the sake of His body, which is the church. Well, who's a part of that church? Well, people who believe in Jesus Christ are a part of that church. People who have joined together with Him by being obedient to Him. That's people who are a part of this of that church. Well, how does a person do that? The same way they did it in Acts chapter 2. What shall we do? And in verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What is the message today? It's the same thing. You want to become a part of the body of Jesus Christ? Do you want to join together with all saved believers of all time as they unite in a special relationship in Jesus Christ as a part of His body, of which He is the head, of which He is in control, by which we listen to Him? Do you want to be a part of that? You do the same thing that they were told to do so long ago. The instructions have not changed. And if Peter were standing here today, and one were sitting in this audience and said, what do I need to do? His answer would be identical. There would be no change. Because the church hasn't changed. It's still the same thing it was. They were added to it, and we can be as well. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, again, we see as this time Peter presents this concept to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Who is that? Those are people who have joined together and been obedient to Jesus Christ based on the things that He has told them to do. That's who that is. It is people who are saved by the blood of the Lamb. It is people who have realized the importance of the teachings of Jesus Christ and have come to a knowledge of Him and who have looked and have seen the great and precious promises and have joined together in a relationship with the God of heaven, joined together in the church, the place where true forgiveness is found, where sin is taken away, and where a relationship with God is possible. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, as we begin reading verse 4. I think this is the what Paul is describing to the church at Ephesus as we read these verses. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, listen to what Paul says to this church. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." What happened? Christ died. And it is by the grace of God that we can be saved. Redemption is found through His blood. And as we join together in that great relationship with God, we are raised, elevated, to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What an incredible relationship that is. What a joy to think that we can escape the confines of this life and be raised by the God of heaven to join in a relationship with Him. Where is that relationship found? It is found in the church of Jesus Christ. It is found in joining together with God and with all the saved of all generations in that great relationship. And so as we join together with them, and we begin to picture ourselves there, even as we sit here this morning, those of us who have become a child of God, we begin to look around. We look around and we see Peter. And we see Paul. We look around in that relationship and we see Dorcas and we see Barnabas. We look around us and we see Peter and James and John. Our eyes begin to focus on Stephen and Lazarus. Our eyes look around and we see people that we have known who have already passed on. People who are faithful servants of God. Our relationship with them has not ended. But in some ways our relationship with them is a little bit changed. We find ourselves here still confined within a physical body. They have gone on to a spiritual existence. But that spirit that is within us yearns to be there with them. Yearns to join together with them for all of eternity, gathered around the throne of God. All of us sitting in the same place. What is that place? It is the church of Jesus Christ, the body of all saved believers. And so we find ourselves separated by time, but joined together in Jesus Christ. We find ourselves still concerned about the physical things, but the Spirit longs to be joined together, reunited for eternity in the presence of the One who gave us this great opportunity, which is the God of heaven and earth and Jesus Christ, His great Son, who died for us. And while we are not yet with them there, in spirit, we are there. In spirit, we raise ourselves above the roof of this building and we picture ourselves around the very throne of God. And we join together with them in worship, in praise, in adoration of the One who loves us, the One who sacrificed for us, the One who is our Father. We join together with them because we have come to Christ. We're a part of His church. We're a part of His body. We are there with them. And what an incredible picture of the church that is. As we conclude this morning, I want to ask you a few questions, and I want you to think about this. This is important. What have you come to this morning? Did you come to a physical structure? I suspect for most of us here, the answer to that is no. Did you come to a local congregation? And that's pretty much what your concept is. The answer to that may be some of us fall exactly in that situation. Don't lose sight of the greater scope of this. Don't lose sight of that of which you're a part, which is the body of Jesus Christ. That group of all saved believers. And ultimately, our aim is to be a part of that. Well, what does that mean? Well, what that could mean is that some local church rejects me. You remember the Apostle Paul, he was Saul at that point, right after his conversion. He comes back to Jerusalem. The Christians in Jerusalem were scared of him and they would not allow him to join them. Well, did that mean that Paul was no longer in a relationship with God? Well, of course not. It meant some local group of people was scared of him. But it didn't change his relationship with God. But I want you to think about this. Is it possible? Is it possible that I could be accepted by some local group of people, but find myself rejected as a part of the body of Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is yes, it's very possible. And what a frightening thing that is. It calls upon each of us to examine the life that we're living. Because those who are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, it is God who adds us to that great body, and it is God who keeps the record, not men. And I may find myself here accepted as a faithful and upstanding member of the New Georgia Church, and everybody just thinks I'm doing what's right, but in my heart, I know that there are things in my life and things that I'm doing that are wrong, and that affect my relationship with God. Things that are sin. God knows. Do not come to a point where we are so comfortable because of our relationship with a local church that we fail to realize there is a greater relationship to which we need to look, and that is our personal relationship with God. That is what we must be examining. That is important. And somebody says, I like that. That's good, because I'll just make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'll just kind of worship wherever. Because as long as I am in my relationship with God, it doesn't matter where I am. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If I am a person who is in a relationship with God and wants to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, what kind of a group of people am I going to want to associate myself with? Well, I'm going to want to associate myself with other people who have the same focus. So I'm not going to want to associate with myself. I'm not going to want to associate myself with a church who claims to be following after some man, or who would give me a book that has more than the Bible. There goes this morning's lesson. That has more than the Bible in it. I'm going to only want to follow in with a group of people who are following what Jesus wants them to do. That's all I want to do. And I want to find other people who are trying to do the same thing. And suddenly, it makes the local group that I associate myself with very, very important. Because if I want to enjoy the relationship with God as a part of the body of Jesus Christ, then I also need to find others who are seeking to do the same thing and join myself together with them for the purpose of worshiping God and serving God and giving us that strong bond while we're here, as all of us sit together looking forward to what lies beyond. To what have you come? I pray that you've come to the body of Jesus Christ. I pray that you're a member of that great body. But if you're not, you can do this morning exactly what you need to do in order to join together with Him. The answer would be the same as what Peter gave, as we've already mentioned. As you believe in Jesus and you are willing to confess Him before men and say proudly that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then as you repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus as God's Son, and you're baptized for your sins to be washed away, and you come up as a new creature, one who is now focused on serving God, one who is had their sins washed away and who has been added to Jesus' church, and then you seek to find a group of people who are trying to do that same thing, trying to focus on Jesus Christ. You can do that this morning. You can enjoy a relationship with God. You can have hope of something better. You can have help for the troubles of life because God is there and He is on your side and you are one of His children and God is there to help. Why would you not want to participate in that great relationship? If you want to enter into that relationship, you can do so now as we stand up and as we sing together.